Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. How are things going today, buddy?
Well, things are going really well. Another great day. I'm here to talk football, and this time we get to talk Houston Texans, a team we don't usually spend a lot of time talking about, but we got a guest on the show tonight. And, you know, Houston, 2 years in a row finishing 9-7. Both years, you could probably make the argument if they had a quarterback, they would probably win in the playoffs. But, you know, we got Sarah Barshop from ESPN NFL Nation on the line to talk to Houston Texans and their week one victory over the Chicago Bears, and to kind of give a preview of the remaining schedule for the 2016 NFL season, and talk about those high expectations the Texans have with their big offseason signing of Brock Osweiler and then Lamar Miller as well. Before I go any further, hey, Sarah, how's it going today? I see you joined us on the show. Sarah, are you there? Oh, so let me try mute and activating again. Hey, Sarah, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
Okay, I can hear you now. I took you off mute, but for some reason Blog Talk Radio has a mind of its own sometimes, and I guess it wanted to act up a little bit. So now that we got that out of the way, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Appreciate you for coming on the show, and we are joined by my co-host, Troy Otradovic, and he's you know, we're both excited that you're on and you get to join us for the show. And I do got to ask now, what is it like? Because I know for ESPN NFL Nation, you got to talk Houston Texans a little bit on Sunday. How was that?
It was fun. It was the first time I'd done it, so it was a cool new experience, and it was fun to do before, you know. Everyone was so excited about the first game, so it was an exciting time in Houston.
Well, Sarah, Evan and I are both Wisconsin guys. I was born in Green Bay. I now live in Steeler Nation, so I'm from a very valued franchise in Green Bay, and now I live out in Steeler Nation, which is a very passionate fan base. I'm going to go right to it. You guys have a boy down there that is a Wisconsin guy, J.J. Watt, who is just a phenomenal athlete, and basically you just wonder how he does the things that he does. A guy of his caliber on the defensive side of the ball that gets mentioned as a league MVP. When you look and have time to watch J.J. Watt, what makes this guy so phenomenal?
I mean, I think you just look at what he did to even play last week against the Bears. He had back surgery in late July, and he played 88% of the snaps in week one for the Texans. They didn't know if he would be back, but the doctor said he was fine. And Bill O'Brien said, when we were talking to him about whether Watt would be back, he said, "I don't know what the doctors will say, but I'll tell you one thing. If it's up to J.J. Watt, he will play. I've never, you know," he says, he sees him want to be there every week. He was there at practice, and so...
Yeah, you know, I
maybe
just
a
love
little...
J.J. Watt. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right, sorry, it sounds like you're cutting out a little bit. So go ahead and finish your thought, and then I'll follow up with my question.
I don't know if it's just him being maybe, you know, a little crazy, but he works hard. He's out there all the time, and he keeps his body in good shape, and even though he was injured, he played through the pain last season. So I think that's one of the reasons he's so good.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I love J.J. Watt, and he's not the only Watt that's, you know, in the NFL. There's one out in San Diego, and now his brother's dominating pretty well at Wisconsin right now in that linebacking core. Going to week one with the Bears, and Brock Osweiler, you know, he's a guy that has 7 career starts, gets big, big money to be the Texans' new starting quarterback. He went 22-35 for 231, 2 touchdowns and interception. Where would you grade his performance, his first start as a Texan, you know, watching that game? Where would you grade his performance?
I think he looked like he had good command of the offense, and that's something that's been really important to Bill O'Brien. It's something he said he's focused on throughout the preseason, through training camp, in the first game. And so O'Brien said today he thought he didn't make a ton of mistakes, considering it was his first game for the Texans, and he thought he did a really good job.
So, Sarah, what was the overall reaction of Texan fans? Evan mentioned it earlier. You look at this team over the past couple of years, just on the brink of the playoffs, everybody's saying, need a quarterback, and they go and drop a lot for Osweiler. What was the overall reaction of the fan base bringing in Osweiler? Was it like, well, we've got a young upcoming guy, or we went out and this is kind of iffy because he has limited starts in the NFL?
I think that fans are really excited. I mean, maybe a little surprised. I don't know that they thought Houston was going to spend all that money after seeing what they've had at quarterback the last couple of seasons. But I think, you know, you look at how good the defense is, and you have J.J. Watt, like you said, you don't want to waste that by having a bad offense. So I think they really went for it. And it seems like people down here are really excited. Now that comes after a week one win. So if they, you know, last season they started 2-5. And if that's, you know, how the rest of the season went and they weren't great, you know, I'm sure fans would be frustrated. But right now they're very excited about him.
Yeah, defensively, the Texans have very tough defense all across the board. You know, they limited the Bears' offense, and Jay Cutler colored just to 216 yards passing on 29 attempts, and Langford wasn't able to get too much on the ground for the Bears. Javion Clowney, he's kind of, to me, a wild card on this Texans defense, a defense that's been very good for the past several years. But he's been unable to stay on the field. I know he had a very strong camp from everything that I read. If Javion Clowney can stay healthy, what kind of impact can he have with this defense?
Clowney, the Texans have actually, because he's healthy, O'Brien has had Clowney playing more than just outside linebacker. He played a little bit of end, similar to what he did in college on Sunday. So they're very excited about what he can do if he can stay healthy. And that's a big if, but That is one of the, you know, the best front sevens in football. And you're talking about someone who's playing with J.J. Watt, with John Chimon, you know, Whitney Merciless. They're all playing really well. And as a team, I think it could be a big year for them.
Well, Evan's talking defense there. I'm going to stay on the offensive side of the ball. You know, everybody knows about the Houston defense. It's just one that is reckless. What does the Texan offense need to do this year, and what kind of identity are they trying to put forth with Osweiler at quarterback? They used to be one that had, you know, workhorse backs. They've got some receiving pieces. But what is the identity of this year's team? What are they trying to prove?
I don't think that they know yet. I think what we've seen so far is they're trying to see where they stand. I mean, not only they got Osweiler, but they signed Lamar Miller, who was a big signing this offseason. So in Sunday's game, there were 35 attempts by Osweiler, and there were 35 rush attempts as well. So, of course, it won't be exactly even every week, but I think for now, until either Osweiler breaks out or Lamar Miller breaks out, they'll try and be as balanced as they can.
Talked to Lamar Miller, and, you know, Houston, for, you know, Arian Foster, for all the good stuff that he did, you know, just couldn't really stay healthy in Houston, and he's actually on the injury report in Miami right now. But Lamar Miller, You know, he's a big back, pretty fast as well. Another big offseason signing for them. What have you seen out of Miller? He had over 100 yards against the Bears. What have you seen from him in training camp and in this Bear game that stands out? You know, he's obviously a load to bring down, but what do you see that really stands out that he brings to this offense?
He seems like he has really good vision, which is important, especially because right now the Texans' offensive line is injured. They're missing Dwayne Brown, who's still out with a torn quad tendon. They just got Derek Newton back, and they're missing their rookie center, Nick Martin. He'll be out for at least 4 months. So they have an injured offensive line, and you know how important that is, of course, you know, to running back. So being able to – Lamar Miller prides himself on his vision and finding holes and all that. And so being able to capitalize on that, especially playing behind an offensive line that may not be the best, you know, will be important for him.
Sure, I'm going to go to another Miller on this team, and that's Braxton Miller, a former Ohio State quarterback, now a receiver. And he is actually listed on the depth chart behind another receiver, Will Fuller. And I want to talk a little bit about this receiving core. Being Green Bay, from Green Bay and a Packer fan, it's like a wide receiver factory up in Green Bay. It's so important in today's NFL, the way that it's going to a passing offense, to have quality receivers, basically 1 through 5. And when I look at this depth chart, getting rid of Andre Johnson and kind of propelling DeAndre Hopkins into that go-to guy. I mean, he is kind of forced into a leadership role only 4 years into a young NFL career with a lot of young guys around him. But when I look at that depth chart and that receiving core, I'm looking at it that could be a pretty special wide receiving core in the upcoming years with the likes of Will Fuller, Braxton Miller, Jalen Strong, and DeAndre Hopkins. What is the outlook for that young receiving core?
I mean, I think they could be pretty good this season. I think it's maybe one of their deepest positions. We saw what DeAndre Hopkins can do, but we saw Will Fuller was targeted the most of any player on the team. He had 11 targets on Sunday. And a lot of that comes because Hopkins was double-teamed. 5 of those targets for Fuller came in the end zone, or in the red zone, sorry. And you see that, and it's because the Bears were double-teaming Hopkins. And that gives, I mean, the reason they brought in so many young receivers is because last year teams were, you know, double-teaming Hopkins, and there was no one else to throw to. Nate Washington was their next, was the player with the next most receptions, and he had, I think, less than half of what Hopkins did. So during the offseason, they made it a priority to get a better receiving core, and I think you've seen that now.
Yeah, better receiving core, better possibly better quarterback position as well. A quick jump to week 2 before we look at the big picture coming up on the year. For week 2, Kansas City on the docket on Sunday. Jamaal Charles looking like he may miss another week, which impacts one of my fantasy teams a little bit because I was looking for Charles to bounce back from his injury. But this game against Kansas City, obviously without Charles, it's, favor tips a little bit towards the Texans. But what is key for Houston against Kansas City to come out victorious over the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think one of the most important matchups there is Travis Kelce. I think they've got to stop him, which is something they haven't done in the last 2 matchups. The Texans lost to start last season and to end last season in the playoffs. And so that's something that was really, you know, the talk today is how do you look at what happened in those 2 games while also acknowledging that this is a totally different team, especially on offense. And so I think that's one important matchup. And then Osweiler has to do what he did last week against the Bears. Easier said than done, of course, but he can't turn over the ball. He had 1 interception on Sunday, but in that playoff loss, the 30-0 loss the Texans had in January to the Chiefs, Brian Hoyer had 4 interceptions and lost a fumble. And so they know they can't do that again.
When you look at those turnovers, Sarah, that, you know, and that's one thing you always talk about, winning the turnover battle. And I look at this Texans team and Bill O'Brien going down there, and it looks like he has put together what I would call a program of success to be able to maintain a level of success. And we always know that the NFL is, what have you done for me right now? It's not, hey, we look good 2 years from now. You play in the moment. And it looks like Bill O'Brien has really put his stamp on that team. So when you look ahead to this year, I mean, what are the fans expecting? And where do they want to see this Texans team go? You know, at 9-7 playoffs, I mean, what is the realistic expectation of this team in 2016?
You know, Bill O'Brien said last week before the Chicago game that 9-7 cannot be the bar this year. They're better than that. And he said, you know, you can't do that and expect to, you know, be guaranteed a playoff spot. Last year, 9-7 won the division. I don't think it will this season. The Colts will be a lot better. The Jaguars will be better. The Titans will be better, but I don't think they're anywhere close to contending for the AFC South. But, you know that they can't finish 9-7. So I did my game-by-game prediction. I have been going 10-6. I think they could, you know, 11-5 is even possible. But it all depends on Osweiler, which we don't know what Osweiler is going to look like. He looked good in week one, but if he turns the ball over, if he cannot continue to have this command of the offense, if he can't bring them down the field, if they can't do better in the red zone, you know, they could have a rough season. And so, you know, not always does a team's season come down to one player, and I certainly don't think that's the case, but I do think the way Brock Osweiler goes is the way the Texans will go this season.
Yeah, well, you know, for Osweiler, I know they have high expectations on him, but he can't really be much worse than the quarterback play from the Texans playoff loss. I think they got to the point that they even ran wildcat formation with J.J. Watt back there, quarterback. I don't think that's I don't think Osweiler can be any worse than the guys that played in that game. Now, you talked about 10-6 prediction for the Texans. Do you see them winning the division at 10-6? And if so, you talked about Jacksonville being better, Colts should be better. Who do you see as their top competition for repeating as division champions?
It's got to be the Colts. I mean, if Andrew Luck stays healthy, if he's much better than he was last season, the Colts will be as well. I think 10-6 at least gets you a tie atop the division. It might be 11-5. I don't know. I think it will come down to those two games against the Colts. They play in Houston on Sunday Night Football in October, and then they play in Indianapolis in December, the week after the Packers game. And I think that's a big – that will be a big, you know, two games for the Texans this season, at Lambeau and then at Lucas Oil Stadium.
So, sorry, I'm going to throw the question out to you. The Houston Texans will make the playoffs if, and I know we talked about Brock Osweiler, but what are the big things that need to happen for the Texans to win the division and make the playoffs?
I think on offense, obviously Osweiler, but I think the other thing is Will Fuller has to develop into a legitimate threat, because if he can, it means teams won't be able to double-team DeAndre Hopkins as much. And if he's not a threat, then it would just be like last season, you know. Hopkins won't be able to be as much of a difference maker as he would as if he has some help at receiver. So I think if Fuller and Osweiler can be who the Texans think they can, I think that will help. And then on defense, you know, J.J. Watt is hurt. He's still playing. And if he can go back to his dominant self, if Jadeveon Clowney can stay healthy, then I think the defense will be just as good, if not better, than they were last season.
I want to move away from Houston really quick. I know you got Wisconsin ties, and I want to get your thoughts. You know, Green Bay, very unexpectedly, on cutdown day, released one of the top guards in the entire NFL. What was your reaction when you saw that Josh Sitton, of all people, like I said, one of the top guards in the NFL, got released by Green Bay? What was your reaction then?
I was very surprised. Definitely didn't see that coming. I saw the report, was a little confused, and then when I saw it was confirmed, you know, I thought maybe something had happened. It, you know, it didn't seem like something that could have been just about his contract or his football performance. And I know we don't know exactly what happened, but I still think it's quite a surprise.
So I'll stick with that, Sarah. And, you know, you let an all-pro guard go and of course has to rub it in by going to the Bears. But you look at the, you know, the replacement in Lane Taylor, and I know you follow the Texans, but when you look at the offensive line with Lane Taylor, what is your initial thought? I mean, there must be something there that we don't see as fans, or even maybe the media, that Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy saw, because I don't think they were just going to come in one day and say, you know what, Josh Sitton, we're going to let him go and we'll roll the dice. They must have felt very comfortable with Lane Taylor to make that move with all the things that were going on. What's your overall assessment of that offensive line now that Josh Sitton is gone?
I don't know. I mean, I think the one thing I'll say is that I think the offensive line is worse without Sitton. I mean, I don't think it's close either. And so you're right. Ted Thompson must have known something happened, or that, you know, they think Taylor is going to be really good. Either way, I'm still surprised they got rid of Sitton. I think, you know, it doesn't hurt to have him on your team one more year, even if you're not going to re-sign him. So I'm very curious to see what the line looks like this season.
And question, you know, the NFL, you know, you talked about the Texans going 10-6. Do you have a prediction at all? Who's for Super Bowl 51? Who do you expect to see come February?
I could see the Patriots, and I could see either the Cardinals or the Packers in the Super Bowl.
So you don't think Carolina would repeat? So you don't think Carolina's going to have that Super Bowl hangover, or where do you see them finishing up?
I think they'll still win that division. I don't think they'll have a, you know, Super Bowl hangover. Cam Newton's very good. I just don't think they'll be as good as they were last season.
So I'm going to have a little fun, Sarah. Last night, Evan and I, we recapped week one of the NFL, and we have come up with a weekly award, and it's basically called the Pooh Ball Award for those performances that basically did not do so well in week one. And so it's the Pooh Ball Award. Evan gave it to RG3 for landing on IR. I gave it to the St. Louis Rams for not being able to score one single point against the San Francisco 49ers. Who do you think had one of the worst performances in week one, whether it be a team or an individual player?
I would say the Rams. They still haven't scored since they were last in L.A., and I think that's a pretty bad look on, you know, the first game of the season, like, especially against the 49ers, who they played. I didn't think San Francisco was going to be very good this season. I still don't think they will, and so I was very surprised about the result last night, or two nights ago.
Yeah, and Kevin Harlan pretty much stole the show in that game. Were you able to hear his call of the drunk guy running on the field at all?
I did. I would give him the best performance of the week. I thought that was incredible.
Yeah, definitely keeping fans entertained while a moron is running on the field. So, go back to your Wisconsin Ties for a minute. I know you're Marquette grad. Look at not new coach anymore, but the coach at Marquette, Steve Wojciechowski. I believe he's, correct me if I'm wrong, going into year three at Marquette. What's your impression on what he's done with the program so far?
I think look, you compare him and Buzz Williams, and there's no comparison. They recruited different types of guys, different players, and I think he's really transformed the way, you know, the program is even looked at. You know, Buzz, obviously, you know, the violations, the, you know, the suspensions, and Woj seems to have run a, you know, pretty clean program so far. So I'm excited to see what they do this season. I watched one game in person last season at the Garden, which is a lot of fun. So I'm hoping I can catch them in person again this season.
Do you have any concern that when Coach K retires, what might happen there? Because I'm a Badger, more of a Badger backer. I'm originally from Madison, but I do root for Marquette. I'm one of those rare breeds, I guess. But I do have a little bit of concern what could happen when Coach K finally hangs them up. But do you have any concern there at all, or do you think Wojo's in it for the long haul?
If that job opens and Woj is offered the job, he should take it. That's an incredible job. I'm sure it's one he's wanted for a very long time, and I wouldn't blame him at all if he took that job if it was offered to him.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely, sir. I mean, you can't be mad at a guy that has those ties, and if you're offered the Duke job, you would actually have to think he's quite crazy if he turned it down and said, no, I'm going to stick at Marquette. You couldn't be upset with the guy to make that move into a program. I will tell you this, though. What are your quick thoughts? Following Coach K, that would have to be a lot of pressure on him moving into that program. So I think he can handle it, though. But what are your thoughts following a legend like Coach K?
Yeah, I mean, now it will be like that for anyone, you know, anyone who takes that job. So I'm sure there's, you know, even if the fans aren't understanding, I'm sure the school will be and the team will be.
Yeah, well, looking at the time, I do want to say thank you for coming on. I do appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule, especially at 10 o'clock at night on a Wednesday. I'm sure that a lot of stuff you need to be doing. So I appreciate you taking the opportunity to come on and talk Houston Texans and a little local Wisconsin stuff as well. Before we do let you go, how can listeners follow your work that want to follow the Texans? How can they follow your work and follow you and the Texans season?
You can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Barshop. And you can go to I tweet out my stories. You can also find me on Facebook, Sarah Barshop. And if you go to the Texans team page on ESPN.com, all my stuff will be there.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Sarah, for coming on. Really had a good conversation tonight. Thanks for all your insight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
And that was Sarah Barshop from ESPN NFL Nation. Once again, thank you very much for coming on and talking some Houston Texans with us and, just some local Wisconsin sports as well. The Texans, Troy, very high expectations this year. 2 years in a row at 9-7. They possibly finally have their quarterback that they've been looking for quite some time. I think even since Matt Schwab was the quarterback since he lost. And, they're a team that if everything falls into place for Houston, they're a team that can make some noise in the playoffs. The AFC is wide open. I know Pittsburgh's very good, but they got a lot of question marks, especially on the defensive side of the football. The Patriots are always contenders, but Tom Brady missing the first 4 weeks. Who knows what happens from there, how he's going to be when he returns. But, yeah, the Texans, they could definitely make some noise if Brock Osweiler is able to manage the job. So what are your final thoughts there before we let listeners go?
Yeah, well, that's why I asked Sarah that question. The Houstons will win the division or make the playoffs if. And I think she hit it right on the head. It was the development of that young receiving corps. There's no question about the defense. That defense has been solid. Bill O'Brien has built that defense. You got J.J. Watt. Whether or not he's hurt, Evan, that guy at 50% is better than most defensive ends in the league. I know that the pain and a back injury, nothing to sit there and say, oh, it's nothing. But if J.J. Watt can recover and get 100%, that defense is just that much better. But even an injured J.J. Watt, and him playing through pain, he's still one of the best players in the NFL. And I'm saying players, not defensive players, one of the best players in the NFL. So no question defensively. My concern with that Texans team is the offense. and it's Brock Osweiler. I'd ask the question, how did the fan base react? A guy that had a handful of starts, that's it, and a young receiving corps. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is a good receiver, very good receiver. Like Sarah mentioned, double-teamed in week one. So Will Fuller had to step up, and he did. And then they got Braxton Miller behind him, and they've got another young receiver that I really like in Jalen Strong. That is a receiving core, Evan, that is so youthful, but I like it. They could become one of the very good and top receiving cores in the NFL. I liked Will Fuller at Notre Dame. I think it was a great pick by the Texans. Like I said, Braxton Miller, a guy who moved from quarterback to receiver, still learning the position and has transformed very well. And Jalen Strong is another young kid that could develop into a very good receiver. You could possibly have four deep on that team that are viable options. And I had made the comparison to the Green Bay Packers, who are a wide receiver factory, to have a deep receiving core. But if that core develops, Evan, and Osweiler can get consistent, that offense might be the talk of the town, overplaying the defense with the way that they could put up points with those guys, because you also have to remember you got Miller in the backfield. He's a running back, Evan, I think, that didn't get enough credit coming out of Miami, a team that underachieved in Miami. Lamar Miller is a very good back. So this is an offense, I think, that if as Osweiler develops, and Sarah had mentioned it, this team is only going to go as far as Brock Osweiler, how good he gets. If he's good, this team could be very scary, Evan, offensively and defensively.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we will be back tomorrow talking Packer preview for the week two matchup against the Minnesota Vikings, the Vikings home opener. So make sure you follow at Evan with Sports and at Red Light Sports Network at Red Light Sports or facebook.com/Red Light Sports Network for the links to listen to the show live, or once we're done and archive, we'll be back at 10 p.m. Central Time tomorrow. Or whenever, you know, if you're listening to it today, I guess. I don't know when you're listening to this. Also, on Friday, I know we don't really do a show per se on Friday. However, either Friday or Saturday, I will be going on either Facebook Live or doing a live show, and talking, giving my NFL week two predictions, minus obviously a Thursday night game, and I give both the prediction. If you're looking for head up, you're going for the spread. If you're going, or if we're talking about the spread, so make sure facebook.com/Red Light Sports Network for that. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to you, Troy, to wrap it up and let our listeners go.
Yeah, wrapping it up in archive time. Thanks for listening in, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight with Sarah Barsoff. As we talked about earlier, she's the ESPN writer for the Houston Texans. Make sure you go follow her on Twitter. And if you're a Texans fan, has a lot of great insight. As Evan mentioned, tomorrow night, Green Bay Packer preview. Gotta love it, buddy. Gotta love Thursday nights. Green Bay Packer preview. Packers 1-0. And have a tough game, though. In week two, we're definitely going to give our keys to the game. Now, what to look for, some concerns that we have going into week two. But again, hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. We'll get back at you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.